Thank you again for inviting me to share the word with you today. Our scripture reading today is from the Gospel of Luke, from chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. Listen for the word of God. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will be all yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, may your Holy Spirit fall afresh on us. Open up our hearts, our minds, our eyes, our ears to your voice. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So last Wednesday, and it says on your bulletin, that the Lenten season has begun, right? Last Wednesday was Ash Wednesday, and Lent begins. And Lent is for 40 days. It doesn't count Sundays. Who knows what Lent means? It's not the past tense of Len, right? Who knows what the word Lent means? No? It's an old English word. It comes from the word spring. So if you look for Lent in the Bible, you won't find it. Okay? Why? Because it's not during biblical times. If we are not practicing it because it was written in the Bible. Lent began when the church found out that Christians started to become complacent, right? Christians started to become very, very comfortable. They come every Sunday, they read their Bibles, but really do nothing. They're very comfortable knowing what they know, doing what they're doing. They became very complacent. So the Christian church decided to create a season of Lent, a time when you would actually have to do something, which is like spring. It means spring. It means that new things grow out of the ground after winter, when everything has died and fallen off. Like spring, new things will grow. So when we do soon we will all be doing like a springtime cleaning. That's where it comes from too. It's a time to search your soul. It's a time to clean up house, which is inside of you. That is Lent, right? So this Lenten season is a time for you, actually for the Christians. Traditionally, what we do is we fast, we pray, and it's a deeper relationship with God. It's a time for all of us to reflect. And it is a time for all of us, if you're familiar, and you've done this many times, it is one of those times when during Ash Wednesday begins, you've all decided to give up something. No? Who's giving up something for Lent? Have you ever done that practice before? Somebody shaking his hand. What are you giving up for Lent? Can you share?
Soda.
Good. What else? I too have been doing that practice as a pastor. But I didn't really understand what it truly meant until a couple of years ago. Right? Because I always thought that Lent was also something you give up, because everybody does it in your church, and then you're encouraged to give it up. So you give up soda or caffeine or, you know, little things that you want to give up, or the things that you love the most, chocolate, right? But a few years ago, I realized what really Lent meant. Because I was talking to a friend of mine, and he's a Catholic priest. And a couple of years ago for Lent, I said to him, what are you giving up for Lent? He said, I'm giving up sadness, depression, anger. And I said, you're not giving up like candy or caffeine or, you know, your favorite food? And he goes, no. This year I have decided. I am giving up sadness, depression, loneliness. And that's when I realized what Lent truly means. It's going into the wilderness. It is more than just giving up soda or the things that we love, although it's a good practice. So we begin with the wilderness, right? So today, our text takes us to the wilderness. Now, Jesus, full of Holy Spirit, right, from Jordan, meaning from the River Jordan. He has just gotten baptized. And what happened in his baptism is that God blessed him and sent a dove and saying, Beloved, this is my beloved. Okay? From there, he's led by the Spirit to go into the wilderness. Now, when we think about the wilderness, and if you've ever been hiking or going to the wilderness, what would you pack to go to the wilderness? This is 40 days, okay? Right? What would you pack? Food? What would you pack? Water? What else? Sleeping bag? Very important. Tents? What else? What else would you pack? Fire? Did you say fire? A stove? Yeah, to cook the food, right? Water purifier. And for direction, right? You're not going to just go in the wilderness. What would you take for direction? GPS, of course. If you're old, we'll take a map. And you'll take a compass, right? You'll take the GPS. Let's hope you have a signal out there. So, you would think that when Jesus is going into the wilderness, he would take all this stuff with him. But he doesn't. Luke tells us that Jesus does not take anything with him into the wilderness. For 40 days, the only thing that Jesus takes with him is what? It's faith. It's humility, obedience, courage, and a whole lot of stuff that you can name too. That's the only thing Jesus takes. Okay? And then Jesus stays for 40 days with no food, no water. He is absolutely hungry. He's absolutely tired. I was reading this book, this reflection on this text, and there is a professor by the name of Lori Hill. She's an associate professor of education out in Augsburg College in Minneapolis. She has a 3-year-old son. And apparently, his teacher had told him something about this text. Because one Sunday, he comes up to his mother and says, Hey, Mom, what do you know of the devil? And then the mother goes, she's a professor of education. So she started running through her head about all the theology and all the things she could answer. And then she looked at him and thought, wait a second, you're 3 years old. So she said, what do you know of the devil? And then the 3-year-old began and said, he talked to Jesus. So the mother said, oh, he paid attention during Sunday school. And then he said, what else? The devil was mean. So for a three-year-old, I'm sure the teacher couldn't say the devil was evil, because three-year-olds don't understand what is evil. So the teacher must have said mean. So, what do you know of the devil? And most importantly, what do you know of temptation? I think we know a lot about temptation. Everybody shaking their head? And the one person who truly understands about temptation is not the God that, you know, just lifts up in heaven and never, never got tempted. No, this is the one person that went into the wilderness with nothing but faith, obedience, and humility. Jesus, who's fully divine, meaning fully God, is also one that's fully human. So during the 40 days, when he's at the weakest point, and I don't know if you've ever fasted before, not starving yourself, there's a difference. Okay? Starving yourself is when there is no food. People who are poor, people who are hungry, they are starving. That's because they have no food. Fasting is a choice. We have food, but we choose not to eat. So there is a difference. Jesus is fasting for 40 days. He's hungry. Okay, he's not like just hungry. I'm talking about hungry like, you know, when your stomach growls really loud and everybody in the room can hear you. That kind of hungry. 40 days he has not eaten anything. He's very, very weak. And this is the time that the devil appears and tempts him. And the first thing the devil tempts him with is what? He knows, the devil knows, that Jesus is extremely hungry. So he says, if you are the Son of God, turn this stone into bread. But Satan knows that there was a time for the Israelites when they were wandering in the desert for 40 days, 40 years in the wilderness. When they came out of Egypt, God provided them with manna. God did change all the stones into bread. But Jesus says, one does not live by bread alone. And then the devil takes him up and shows him the whole kingdom and says, now, this belongs to me. You bow down and worship me, this will all be yours. And then we all know the devil was lying then, because the world does not belong to the devil. And the devil cannot give Jesus the power and authority. And then Jesus quotes again and says what? He says, worship the Lord your God and serve only God. And then the devil does one more last thing. Takes him up to the top of Jerusalem. And then he says, if you are, actually the translation is not if you are the Son of God. In the Greek text actually it says, since you are the Son of God. Because the devil knows who Jesus is already. It's not if, it's since. Then throw yourself down, and when you do, God will send his angels, and the angels will lift you up so that you don't even fall on the ground. And then Jesus says, what does Jesus say? Do not put the Lord your God to the test. You know what else Jesus is equipped with when he goes into the wilderness, so full of the Holy Spirit? One, when you go into the wilderness, that's one thing you should take with you too, right? What do you take with you besides your cooking stove and your compass, your GPS? You take a knife, right? You will need a knife if you're going to cut up some food, right? You're going to take something with you to protect yourself or to do something with. Jesus does the same. Jesus goes into the wilderness equipped with what? One of the weapons that Jesus takes is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit stays with him. And then two, Jesus quotes scripture. Every time the devil tempted him, Jesus quoted scripture. Not because he was Jesus, the Son of God, that he knew this by heart. Because you have to remember, Jesus came as a baby. Jesus grew up with his parents. He grew up in a community where his parents took him to the synagogue, to the temple. So Jesus read, learned, lived by scripture. Right? So not because Jesus became God all of a sudden and remembers all of this text. Jesus too, like you, went to church, went to the temple, had teachers, was taught the scriptures. He learned it, but he lived it. Those were the stuff that he took with him. So, the wilderness, temptation. The three-year-old, back to the three-year-old, right? Says to his mom, "What do you know of the devil?" And then the mother said, "Well, what do you know of the devil?" And then the boy said, "The devil is mean. Talk to Jesus, that was me." Then he does something that kind of surprises the mother. His voice changes like the devil. He kind of goes down and he says, "Mom, if you and Dad, if were on one aisle, we were in the store and you were in one aisle, in, you know, if I and Dad were in one aisle and you were in another aisle and there was candy, and then the devil said, 'Take some,' what would you say?" What would you say? What do you think the little boy said? Actually, the mother looked at him and said, "Okay, if we were at a store and mom and dad was on one aisle and you were in the other aisle, and the devil said, 'Here's some candy, take some,' what would you say to the devil?" And the three-year-old looked up at his mother, smiled, a big smile, and said, "Oh, thank you." But he's 3 years old, and you're thinking, yes, he's 3 years old. Of course he's going to say, "Thank you." So according to Lori Hale, three-year-old missed the point, but we kind of miss the point all the time, too. Because why? Where is your wilderness? I told you in the beginning that I understood what Lent meant, meaning what wilderness meant. When my friend said, "I'm giving up sadness, loneliness, and depression, and anger," I realized that's his wilderness. What are your wilderness, right? That when you give up something, it's got to be something more. Lent is a time when God is inviting you to go to a place that you do not want to go to. That is your wilderness. Where is that wilderness? Is it a place where when you sit in quiet reflection, is it loneliness? Is it depression? Is it, "I might never be loved," or "I'll never belong"? Or is it fear? Or you're wondering when the next income is going to come? Maybe you're going to lose your job. Maybe you already have. Maybe you're in college and you're wondering by the time you graduate, what are you going to do? Will there be a job be waiting? Or are you getting ready to go to college? Or are you thinking about when you're going to meet the special person? Or are you always going to be alone? Or if you're married, are you going to think, when is my child coming? And when you're older, are you sick? Or even when you're young, when you're sick, is it illness? Or that when you sit in your wilderness, do you think about death? Where is your wilderness? Just as Jesus was led into the wilderness, this Lenten season is a time for you to be led into your wilderness. That when you start to give up something, you start, yes, you have to start somewhere. So you start with soda, you start with chocolate, you start with caffeine. But I have seen people, and read, actually, that there are people who will give up the internet for 40 days. And everybody's going, ugh. Right? There's someone who's going to give up cell phone for 40 days. There's a church doing a carbon fast, meaning not take the car. How not to use electronics for 40 days. A carbon fast. There's a church that's doing an H2O fast. And I was like, what's an H2O fast? Apparently, they're doing something for countries that need water. And then there was a time when you're supposed to give up Starbucks, Pete's. Right? Not just coffee, but not going there to drink, to buy. But more so than that, there was a theologian and a professor who says, what's wrong with us sitting in a place where we ask and the loneliness and our fears creep in and we sit with it? Why are we so afraid? Because our minds wander. And that's when temptation comes in. That's why I hope it's not too late that if you haven't decided what you're going to give up for Lent, that you start thinking about what it is that you would like to do. What it is that God is inviting you to do. Maybe it's something that you're most afraid of. Give up fear. Give up something a lot more important. And then surround yourself with people who are going to support you. Because your friends, once you realize he has decided to give up soda, you are going to find a lot of people who are going to start offering you soda. It's true. So Satan doesn't come in a red horn and red and with a tail. Temptation comes in many forms. It can come through your friends, your family, your church community. When I was a youth leader for a conference out in Montreat for 2 weeks, Montreat does these youth conferences every summer. About 2,000 youth come every week. And as a leader, I had to stay there for 2 weeks. And I have done that previously for the leadership training, and I've been there for 2 weeks. And the inn, the chef at the inn cooks really well. But most of all, he makes really, really good desserts. So when I did my leadership training, I ate too much, I gained a lot of weight, and then I decided the real thing came. I was not going to go to the dessert table at all. Like literally, go through the buffet, but not go. I didn't want to know what was at the dessert table. So in order to get support, I shared this with a whole group of people. And you have, mind you, these are teenagers, youth who are there too in the leadership. And during that 2 weeks, every day when we were eating together, I would tell them that I had given up dessert for 2 weeks. And every day, a couple of teenagers would go to the dessert table, bring one slice of everything, pies, cakes, ice cream, you name it. Whatever was on the dessert table, they put it right in front of me. Temptation comes in every form, not through horns with a tail. It could be through your friends. But your strength and courage come through your friends too, right? Just as Jesus was equipped with the Holy Spirit and with Scripture, you too are equipped with the Holy Scripture and with the Holy Spirit. And sometimes it comes in the form of your friends, in your community. That's why when you give up something for Lent, this Lenten season, whatever it is that you are, God is inviting you to do, you are not alone. That you do not do this alone. Because when you get tempted, and we do all get tempted, and we fail oftentimes, the way we succeed is the same way Jesus succeeded. Jesus made the right choice. He could have just listened to the devil, but he makes the right choice. And that choice is to be obedient to God. He chose God. And for us, when we get tempted to make the right choice, we need to be surrounded by people who know God. Not make the decision for you, but support you in your decision. Right? The three-year-old does not know any better. But the mother hopes that one day he'll understand that it's a difficult path. The way of God is to be obedient to God. And that being obedient to God will bring you freedom. That three-year-old will learn. But children do learn really quickly. Because when I was a children's minister at my home church, for Lent, actually, one of the things that the children practiced was I told them they needed to give up something. And one of them gave up Nintendo, and a couple of them had given up candy. And some of them had given up sports or TV, which is very admirable. Because a couple of them who loved candy, gave it up for 40 days. And a couple of Sundays into Lent, when we do the prayers of the people, they started sharing about how they had eaten candy. Somebody had offered them candy and they found it and they so wanted it, so they ate it. And then the reaction was, I thought the kids were going to say, "Oh my God, I thought you were going to give that up. How can you eat that? How could you break down?" But you know what they did? The other one said, "Oh, I did that too last week." And the other one said, "I ate two instead of one." And then I saw them forgiving one another. Instead of pointing fingers and discouraging, I saw them forgiving one another. One of them said, "It's okay. We still have two more weeks of Lent." And then one of them said, "And for sure on Easter, we'll have all the candy we want." I said, "Yes. You can have all the chocolate and all the candy at Easter. For sure. But it's okay that you fail." But instead of pointing fingers and discouraging, they were loving, forgiving, because they understood. They failed too. It's not that they've all succeeded, but they failed at some point too. And they recognized it in one another. That is why this Lenten season, that you do not just go through this time of reflection, this time of searching. Maybe this time not so much to give up, but maybe this is a time for you to say, "Well, I don't know God." Then find God. Seek God. Read your Bible. This is where you will find God. That could be your Lenten journey. Maybe it is about fasting. Not so much that, you know, you want to sit there and say, "Oh, I am fasting." But that when you fast, you think about the people who really do not have food and what it means to not have food. And really think about what it means to you then. What is God calling you to do for the people who do not have food to eat? Reflect. This is a time for you when the Holy Spirit is leading you, inviting you to be in a place in the wilderness. And you will be tempted, but you are equipped with the Word, with the Holy Spirit. And when you are tempted, I hope you will not react like a 3-year-old and say, oh, thank you to the devil, and heed into the temptation. I hope you will be like Jesus, that you will make the right choice. Because Jesus, in the end, after this, at the end of the Lenten season, what happens? Jesus does feed the hungry. He didn't just turn the stone into bread. He feeds the hungry. Power and authority, yes, they were waiting for a Messiah, but not the kind that Jesus was offering. Jesus does offer justice and peace. And Jesus does not throw himself off so that the angels would protect him. He goes to the cross. He gets crucified because God loves us. Jesus made the right choice. Jesus chose to be obedient to God. Jesus chooses God. And that's what we are required to do for this Lenten season. I hope you will make the right choice. Choose to be obedient to God. Choose God. Amen.